If the conversation is about the use of public cloud, then the issues of security and privacy are potentially different from just internal or on-premise IT. The point that we would make is that they are really mostly different in scale, not in kind. That is to say, they're the same sorts of security issues or privacy issues that I would face with an internal system. I'm just facing them in a slightly different, in fact, potentially profoundly different scale, that is the public cloud. And if that's the case, then the same disciplines and techniques and tools that I'm using to solve those problems in my internal systems are the same sorts that I'll use to solve them in public cloud implementations. And in fact, they are. And we are underway now to prove those at scale, at cloud scale. So the one caveat I would add is that they're probably, so the claim would be that the difference between public cloud and a private cloud or even just a plain old in-house IT is one of more of scale than of kind with regards to security and privacy. There is one caveat to that or one exception that I would raise as a particular exception, which is the cardinality of the connection. And this is, so by that I mean how many different people can add information and access information. So for those public cloud services, so it's got to be a public cloud service because I got to be outside the trust zone. For those public cloud services that are essentially retail in nature, so I'm reaching out to the constituency, to the citizenry, or to actually a retail, if this were a commercial solution, a retail population, right? So I've got a lot of consumer users out there. There's an interesting difference because it is unusual for me to have an internal system with a lot of consumer users that is not already in a demilitarized zone, a DMZ, or a more secured part of my infrastructure. And so that is one difference in kind that does require some thinking. What are our clients doing? Well, so the first thing is that we're seeing very cautious adoption of public cloud by the federal user. Obviously, apps.gov is a great start on that. You'll note that the majority of those are at the edge of the mission, so they're a little bit safer because they're not at the core of a mission, though I would argue that email or messaging technologies might be a little more core than we might otherwise think. So what are clients doing? Well, the adoption of public cloud by the federal user is relatively cautious, and for the most part at the edge of the mission, or even at the edge of the back office, not the core ERP, not the core mission information technology. There are exceptions that can be found in multiple cases, but for the most part, that's true. I believe that our federal clients are much more interested in private cloud possibilities. That is to say, to use the disciplines of virtualization, automation, IT services management to drive efficiency and effectiveness in their internal capabilities, so internal cloud, private cloud. That's actually well and good, right? Because that literally is taking the disciplines and the good stewardship that have been they've been going on for the last little bit, data center consolidation, server virtualization, storage optimization, operations automation, right? That's just taking that to the next level and presenting it to the mission user as a service catalog that can be subscribed effectively. That's great. It gets you good effectiveness. It gets you good efficiency, right? For the reasons I just described, it gets you good effectiveness because it changes you to an IT services management shop. It avoids the security and privacy risks issues because it keeps everything inside the trust zone, be that within a single data center or not. It's still inside the enterprise trust zone. What it doesn't get is it doesn't get the economies of scale that public cloud offer, right? I mean, there are very few enterprises in the world that could that run enough machine images to get to the cost per machine image that an Amazon Web Services might get to.
Right.
Just as an example. So, but that may not be the important thing. The efficiency and the effectiveness may be valuable, and in fact, they are. And we're seeing that close look at private cloud as a way that they are moving forward. One, cautious adoption at the edge, not the core. Two, using the momentum already in the consolidation and virtualization to press on towards private cloud capabilities. And then thirdly, I'm now speculating, right? So now I've moved from the realm of things we can actually point to examples of and momentum around to things that I believe there is momentum towards. And this is the idea of the community cloud. Again, as originally posited or is originally described by the GSA in the request for information they sent out for that easily 18 months ago, if not 2 years ago. And the way I characterize that is that a set of people with private cloud capabilities discover other entities, other missions, other agencies, other groups that have a shareable trust. So we don't have exactly the same trust zone, but we have a shareable trust, something that's a common basis of trust, right? That would allow us to club together, to assemble ourselves together. And there are two or three reasons that might occur, right? One is in pursuit of a common mission. So the federal, state, local, tribal integration around law enforcement is a great example. And so the law enforcement fusion centers are examples, right, of people that are pooling around some common element of trust, pooling information and operations in order to better affect the collaborative mission.
Yeah, I was also thinking, too, maybe disaster relief, FEMA, Department of Homeland Security, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So things like that, where there's some shared trust and there is a common mission that we do better in collaboration or conjointly, could cause us to club together to bring our private clouds into a community cloud. A second reason that can happen, and again, I must tell you, I'm speculating. We see momentum this way, but not
sure,
strong examples
sure.
yet. A second reason that can happen is that think about if I am a provider, a cloud service provider of private cloud software as a service, right? So I've created that. If I'm a provider of cloud services in my enterprise, there must be a subscriber of cloud services also in the enterprise, right? So
right.
I have this service catalog that I've created, and my users are subscribing these services and doing good things. And what we find out is that some of their counterparts in the mission, I'm thinking about myself as IT, I provided a services catalog to the mission. My mission guys are using these services. They are connecting operationally with others outside of my department or agency. And those others come back and say, hey, could I subscribe those same services? And so an example of that is alerts and warnings, right? So this idea of creating
right.
an alerts and warning system for example, the natural disaster that you cited or for other security events. And a particular department or mission or agency could have created one. By definition, it's subscribable by outside parties, so why wouldn't we allow our partners in another department to subscribe that same service, right?
Right.
And that goes on all the time now. It's just done under interagency agreements, and it's sort of point solution. What we believe is, as Agency A, who has the alerts and warning solution, and Agency B, who with whom they work regularly and would like to subscribe it, as those two agencies themselves are offering private cloud, when they begin to do these exchanges, they'll do them as cloud services. And so you'll discover that I have services you'd like to subscribe. I'll discover you have services I'd like to subscribe. Suddenly we're in community cloud.